And I already know what my wife's laughing about. God's is infinite. And I made some last minute changes right before I came over here, and I wanted to say, God is infinite. There. Now I feel better. Please bear with me. There we go. And I had on there previously, God's love is infinite, which it is. So I wanted to change it to this for some reasons that I had within me. But I wanted to greet each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as always. And all those that are live streaming, welcome. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for our brother's opening prayer. I always find it difficult to be able to express what the Lord gives me as a message, because a lot of times I feel that Spirit of the Lord working within me, and it's very difficult to communicate that sometimes into words and to elaborate on those little things that can mean so much. And I try to do that to the best of my ability, and hopefully I can do that today. I really wanted to take some time today to be able to show each and every one of us that the Lord's love is infinite, that God is infinite. And I was looking at those things, and I was thinking about those things, and I've been really interested lately in the science of space and what man does to try to figure it out. And by no means am I anywhere capable of understanding all that's involved with that, but I know that the Lord is. I know that the Lord created all things in heaven and in earth, and I do know that we cannot comprehend all those things, but it is interesting. It's interesting to see. I really have that desire to know of how far has man gone, how far, how much do we know, but in all things, knowing that the Lord, you know, he has a plan for us. He's done all this. He knows all these things, and it's really neat to be able to see some of that stuff come to fruition. You have differences of opinions. You have all kinds of different hypotheses, but in all things, truly, and in my heart, I know that the Lord has, if he wanted us to know all these things, he'd give us that ability to have that information. And I want to start off, and I'm going to finish off also in Jacob chapter 3, but I'm going to start off reading a scripture verse here. It's going to be on page 176. It's going to be three verses in Jacob, and it's verses 9 through 12, and it says, behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries. I'm trying to figure out where my arrow is for my mouse. There it is. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of him, and it is impossible that man should find out all his ways. And no man knoweth of his ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God, for behold, by the power of his word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of his word. The heavens and earth were created by him, and we are still to this day trying to wrap our heads around those things in nature. You know, we still find out. You know, I love the Nature Channel. I love hearing about these things, new animals that are discovered in the seas, in the oceans, on the planet, in the jungles, in the forest. Things are still being uncovered. You know, we've seen recently, our brother Ronnie and his adventures in the jungle, and you know, he stumbles across things and he posts them on Facebook, you know, these plants and stuff that he runs into, and it's really interesting to be able to see people get excited about those things. And I want people to see and to know and get excited about God and to know that, you know, all these things were created by him for us and for us to be able to understand and to know and to have a knowledge of, including the path that we need to walk in life to be able to reach that eternal kingdom. And so, you know, also there's things that are being discovered in science, such as humans and what the body does and how the body does it, how things work within the body and the brain. Cancer is a big thing that, you know, we know that scientists are trying to figure out. I'm going to move towards planets, you know. There's planets that people are trying to discover for new life forms and all that fun stuff that goes along with it. They're using technology to be able to reach out to the depths of space and to be able to understand different galaxies and all those things that go along with it. And so, you know, these things are really interesting, and the Lord gives us the ability to be able to understand and to comprehend these things. But, you know, there's just such a vast amount of space and time that we deal with that it's almost overwhelming for us to be able to comprehend. And I want to start off on the next slide here. Does anybody know what this is a map of here? I'm glad nobody does. It's a map of the observable universe. And so I was looking at this, and boy, that really doesn't look like too much on a piece of paper here now, does it? And I think Earth is like, you know, if you hang a left at this little blue dot right here and head about a light year from that towards here is about where Earth is. And, you know, for us to be able to see all that and to understand all that with our telescopes, it's really interesting. You know, we're such a small part of what there really is, what God has for us. And it's amazing that in such a small little concept of what we're in, that we have a purpose and that God has an intention for each and every one of us. And so, you know, this is only what man is capable of observing at this time. You know, technology doesn't let us go out any further than this. So this here, this visible map here, this visible universe in which we do have, they're saying with the theory of relativity by Albert Einstein that this is approximately 380 million light years of distance of our observable galaxy, which includes about 45,000 of our neighboring galaxies, okay, of our universe. And so there's about 45,000 galaxies which we have discovered within this observable universe. And so, you know, that's a lot to take in. You know, that's quite a ways to travel, 380 million light years, right? And so I kind of wanted to be able to break that down into a little bit more of an understanding of, you know, how can we get a grasp of how far 380 million light years is. Well, one light year is approximately 5.879 times 10 to the 12th power, which equates to approximately 5.88 trillion miles. So that's one light year, and there's 380 million that we know of. I didn't want to do that math. So kind of to break it down a little bit more, the Space Shuttle Discovery can travel approximately 5 miles a second, okay? So 5 miles in 1 second is an approximate speed of what I'm using as a formula to kind of help grasp what this encumbers. So it would take approximately 37,200 years to travel one light year. Okay, so if you were to think about that, one light year is 37,200 years, 37,200 years times 380 million. And that's how far we have seen. And interesting it is to know that that is not even the end. There's more to it than that. And it's yet to be discovered. And just like, you know, when we see, kind of can put it into our capability of understanding these things, it's interesting to see that this is so far and there's so much to it and how much of an understanding that we don't have. And at the same time, you know, as we go to the depths of the ocean and things of that nature into the depths of the jungle, there's still things even right there underneath our nose that we still haven't even discovered. You know, there's things growing in my refrigerator that I haven't even discovered yet. You know, how such is life. But I really love all this stuff. I do. And I've been really interested in it. And it really struck my interest. And I have to give credit to one of our brothers, Chris Moran. He was at the camp this year. And I became friends with him on Facebook, and he puts a lot of interesting stuff on there, and I started getting into it and looking into it, you know, just out of curiosity. By no means am I indulging in it and, you know, making it a part of my daily life, but it's just neat to see some of this stuff. And, you know, when we were at camp, Chris had brought this really big telescope. I mean, this thing was the biggest one I ever looked through, and it was probably this big around and about this tall, and it had like that controller and stuff. He had to set it all up down by the pond down there, and he put it on Saturn. He dialed it in to where all of us can look at the planet Saturn and to see its rings. And that was the first time that I've ever looked myself through it and to see it with my own eye. And I thought it was really neat. And so I started getting into it on Facebook, became friends with him, and he had a lot of cool posts on there and stuff. But, you know, just interesting things that we get into because of who we are, what we're interested in, and how, you know, we can relate those things to God in our lives. You know, I know that I have brothers and sisters here that are interested in a lot of different things. But in those interests, we build up relationships with something else that we have in common. And that's the gospel, our God, our Lord and our Savior. So I wanted to continue on. You know, I wanted to talk about how, you know, in this expanse of the universe, we are such a small part of it. And, you know, I wanted to talk about all those things that the Lord has done in our life with all of his wisdom, with all of his might, with all of that he does. You know, what is he really, what is his intention for us? It's to be able to spend eternity with him. And I'm sure when that time comes, you know, we'll have a better understanding of everything that transpired, why it transpired, what he's done for us. You know, and it's important for us to be able to know that God, you know, in this expanse of the universe here, you know, where is God in this? Where is God in our lives? You know, he's right here. He's in our mind. He's with us when we're struggling. He's right by our side. Sometimes he's even carrying us, and sometimes he's lifting us up. You know, it's neat to know those things, that God is with there with us, being able to help us through every endeavor in which we encounter. And there's so much going on in the universe. There's black holes, there's wormholes, there's supernovas. There's all these things that transpired, but we have a God that cares about each and every one of us, what's going on in our lives, what's going on in our hearts. And so where do we put ourselves? Where do we put ourselves in this universe? You know, where are we at? You know, God is right there with us. But yet, could we be 380 million light years away from him? You know, where are we in this walk in our life that God has given us this time to be what he wants us to be? To be, even though we're such a small part, we could be so much and make such a big difference. That's something to think about. That's something that the Lord has put upon my heart. You know, I love the body of Christ, the unity that we have. But sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I struggle with knowing that, you know, there's members within the body that are light years away, but yet we're so close. You know, what is it that we need to do within ourselves to help our minds be able to grasp that infinite love, that infinite wisdom that the Lord has to be able to follow and to seek after his counsel and not that of our own? You know, not let those things in our lives trip us up and get us away, take us to distant places away from God. So with that, you know, what does God do? What has God done to be able to help us, to be able to help us understand, you know, to be able to show us the way? We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read 3 verses there, 7 through 10. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. But not thou, therefore, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That immortality, you know, brought to the gospel because of Jesus Christ. You know, I really appreciate, you know, understanding and having a knowledge and being capable of knowing what a black hole is and all that stuff. But, you know, the thing that really strikes my interest is this word right here, immortality. You know, we see in movies and stuff like that, you know, these movies they put out, they're always seeking for the fountain of youth or eternal life or stuff like that. And it's all given to us. It's all given to us right here. You know, we don't have to find a distant planet out in the middle of nowhere to figure these things out. God has given us that ability to be able to understand that. And so, you know, I was thinking about that and, you know, what is it? You know, we have our own particular fears. A lot of fear is because of the unknown. You know, what's going to happen to this planet? Where, you know, 100 years from now, 1,000 years now, what's going to happen to it? We got to find a new place to go. But, you know, all of us, fears start from the smallest things and they grow in our lives. A lot of people have the fear of heights. A lot of people have the fear of spiders, arachnophobia, snakes. I think about the movie Indiana Jones when I think about the fear of snakes. I know an individual who even has a fear of crickets. I'm not going to point that individual out, but I know an individual who is scared of crickets. You know, it's a fear. Some individuals fear the dark. But, you know, with God, he has brought us to a place to where, he says right here, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. And just like anything else, you know, if we study, if we begin to become familiar with, if we become acclimated to, we start to let those fears subside, right? It's because we start to, you know, engage in those things and start to understand those things. And I think it's also true with the gospel. You know, some people are afraid of taking those steps in the right direction because they don't know what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen in their life, what's going to happen in their social life, you know. But we need to understand that God in his love gives us that ability to overcome those fears. He gives us a sound mind to know when I put 1 + 1 together, it equals 2, you know. When I put God in my life and I'm struggling, it's going to take me someplace that's going to be positive. You know, when I need to be lifted up, if I put God in my life, you know, he's going to be able to lift me up. He has that ability to do that. You know, when I take the formula of what the gospel provides me of all of those things that I need to be able to do to reach immortality, you know, to spend eternity with God, you know, if I apply those things in my life day by day, if I exercise and focus on those things, I'm going to be able to accomplish that. That's an amazing thought. You know, God tells us and Christ has shown us the way. So as scientists are trying to figure out the who, what, where, when, why, and how, you know, the gospel has been given to us. And some of those things people just can't accept in their lives. But we know that if we do accept those things, that God is going to show us a better place. He gives us the answers to immortality through the gospel. So I have a note here. Let's just take a look and see just how does that happen and talk about a few things that God provides us that will always be there, that are always infinite. These things will always be there, will always be infinite. You know, they're never ending. They're for you, they're for me, they're for our grandchildren, our grandchildren's grandchildren. They were there for our great-great-great-grandparents. And so I wanted to go to 2 Nephi chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. And it says, "For it behooveth the great Creator that he suffereth himself to become subject unto man in the flesh and die for all men, that all men might become subject unto him. For as death has passed upon all men to fulfill the merciful plan of the great Creator, there must needs be a power of resurrection." And the resurrection must needs come unto man by the reason of the fall. And the fall came by the reason of transgression. And because of man became fallen, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord. Wherefore it must needs be an infinite atonement, save it should be an infinite atonement. This corruption could not put on incorruption. So this infinite word here, everything that I'm going to reference is going to be from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. I looked this up and I wanted to define it and to be able to share that with you. It says without limits, unbounded, boundless, not applied to time, space, and qualities. God is infinite in duration, having neither beginning nor end of existence. He is also infinite in presence, or omnipresent, and his perfections are infinite. And that is something to think about. It also says that will have no end. Thus, angels and men, though they have had a beginning, will exist in an infinite duration. Okay? So the atonement, this atonement that was made, Christ, we know, was made as the atonement. And it's an agreement, concord, reconciliation, after enmity or controversy, expiation, satisfaction or reparation made by giving an equivalent for an injury or by doing or suffering that which is received in satisfaction for an offense or injury. So I wanted to talk about the atonements that were made before Christ came. So the house of Israel, I'm going to read out of Leviticus chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. You know, we're all familiar with this. It says, and it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for thy people, and an offering, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And we know that, you know, those are the practices that were in place to be able to make an atonement for the sins of man prior to the coming of Christ. And then when Christ came, all that was put to rest. And Christ was that infinite atonement. He is the path. He is the way. He is the one that took upon all of our sins to be able to help us have that path to eternal salvation with God. Okay. And so in Moroni chapter 8, verse 3, it says here, I am mindful of you always in my prayers, continually praying unto God the Father in the name of his holy child, Jesus, that he, through his infinite goodness and grace, will keep you through the endurance of faith on his name to the end. So that infinite goodness and grace, it's always there. It's always for us to be able to tap into, to be able to reach out for, to be able to walk in. You know, God gives us those things so we can be able to overcome all the difficulties of life, so we can know that somebody is there with us, walking us through these things. And the endurance of faith is key to receive that goodness and grace of God. We have to have faith in God to be able to help us see and to know of the goodness and grace that God gives us. So if we decide to wander, if we are not prayerful, if we are led astray, if we are influenced by others in the ways which we are contrary to the gospel, if we are not willing to serve, if we're falling short of what God has required of us to receive those things, then, you know, that's our choice. You know, we need to make sure that we're staying focused on those things that God calls us to do. we need to make sure that we're focused on counseling the Lord for those things that we should do. And it's important that we know that and we feel. I think that feeling part is important, that you feel the Spirit of the Lord working with you. And how do you feel that Spirit of the Lord? You know, you get down on your knees. You're humble. You're in meekness. You're praying about those things. You're lifting your heart up to God, and He's going to be able to, you know, lead you down that path. He's going to be able to show you the way. Also in Mosiah chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit," those manifestations of His Spirit, you know, let it work within us, "have great views of that which is to come. And we are expedient, and were it expedient, we could prophesy of all those things." So through our faith, our hope, and our trust in the Lord, and through the workings of His Spirit, He provides the ability for us to see, for us to understand, for us to have a knowledge of those things that we couldn't even imagine that were possible. You know, I look back and think about, you know, the pioneers of this country and the what they fought for and the freedoms that we have. And I think about, you know, how fast technology is growing, how fast we are being able to reach out and understand things. And I try to put myself in their place and see what it would be like in their shoes 100 years from now. You know, what's going to be going on this planet? You know, what's going to be happening? How in tuned are people going to be with the Lord? You know, with all this infinite knowledge that there is for people to absorb, you know, are people still going to be reaching out to the Lord? Well, with us, with God's children, that's what the Lord calls us to do. You know, influence others to be able to continue to reach out to the Lord, because man starts to begin in their own understanding and it leads them away, it leads them astray. And it's important that we understand that, you know, even though we can start to understand and have a knowledge of things, there's still things that we can't comprehend. But having the Lord in our lives, He can show us the way. So the goodness of God, He is willing to freely give those things which are expedient for our soul's path to eternal life. And that word expedient is for it to mean literally hastening, urging forward, tending to promote the object proposed, fit or suitable for the purpose, proper under any circumstances. Many things may be lawful which are not expedient. That's just an example. Useful, profitable. Those are some things that expedient gives us. Expedient, that which serves to promote or advance any means which may be employed to accomplish an end. You know, each one, every one of us is going to come to an end in this physical body. You know, what is it that we're going to be able to reflect on in our lives? What are those things? Are we going to be able to look back and look at the goodness of God in our lives when we're getting in age and be able to see, you know, that our heart was there. Our heart was given over to God. We had everything that we had that we contributed to our walk in this life to be able to help us get to that eternal salvation. Okay, so, you know, we need to understand those things. We need to be able to start processing what the Lord's intentions are in our lives. How do we get there? How do I understand how to do this? Well, we're going to seek after the counsel of the Lord. And in Psalm chapter 147, verse 5 through 7, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our Lord." So His understanding is infinite. He knows what we need. But are we willing to follow after His guidance? Do we need to contribute more to be able to have an understanding of what it is that we need in our spiritual walk? And I can guarantee you that if we have an understanding of that, that we'll give more. We'll give more of our time. We'll do those things that are important that will not only lift ourselves up, but lift others up as well. I'm going to speak upon that meekness here in a minute. But I wanted to read real quick in relation to this. Luke chapter 18, a few verses there, 18 through 23. And it talks, everybody knows this, and I just wanted it in here just as a refresher. It says here, and a certain ruler asked him, Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You know, I don't know anybody in here that is very rich in this temporal life, but I think the point here is that the Lord is saying, you know, give what you have, what you're capable of giving. You know, take the time and dedicate it to the Lord. Serve him with your heart. Pour out all that you have unto him. Let him lead you. Let him counsel you. Let him show you the way. And in return, you're going to be very rich in life. You're going to be able to receive that infinite goodness, that infinite grace that he has. You're going to be able to know of those things that you should do. He's going to show you. He's going to give you an opportunity. But I wanted to talk about this. You know, the Lord lifted up the meek. And I was listening to a podcast this week, and it was a really neat, this individual called in and was talking about meekness. And the speaker was saying, you know, that, you know, being humble is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking less for yourself. And I thought that was really interesting. And we were talking about that in our Sunday school class today, that, you know, the perception of what people have when somebody is meek is that, you know, this person, you know, I could walk all over him, I could wipe my feet on his back, I could do what I want, but that's not the case. I think that what it is that, you know, even though you're humble and you're meek, you could be very powerful. You know, I believe that one of the attributes that a humble person has and that a meek person has is, just as an example, is processing those things in which they're going to say very carefully before they say it. Because you could say so little, but yet so much. A person that thinks highly of themselves likes to be heard. You know, they can say a whole bunch of stuff, but yet really have no meaning to it. And I think that's really interesting that, you know, this was said, because, you know, we're thinking less for ourselves. When we think less for ourselves, it encumbers that love of God. You know, if we're looking at it from a Christian perspective, that love of God, you know, having that charity, that pure love of Christ, serving others, you know, being humble, being meek, being lowly. And it says in Luke chapter 14, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And so, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, I'm going to read that real quick. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, amid a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as a light in the world, holding forth the word of life, that it may rejoice in the day of Christ." You know, we can rejoice in that day. "That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." You know, it wasn't empty. There was a reason for it. It was to be able to receive that eternal salvation. "Yea, and if I be offered up upon this, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." So, you know, I think about this, and it's kind of what you put into it is what you get out of it, kind of like with our relationship with God. You know, I think about the parable where the man puts his hand to the plow and he doesn't look back. You know, if we have a field, if we're farmers and we go out, we have a field, and we are expecting to have a harvest, you know, there's a lot of work involved in that. I mean, these farmers, they get up, probably work 12, 14, 16 hours a day to get their crops going, right? But if we have an expectation to that we, hey, I purchased a field, I got it, it's mine, and there's supposed to be things that just happen that come along with it, that's not the case. We're just fooling ourselves. You know, if I go out there and I have a field ready to be planted and I don't plant any seeds, what's my expectation? You know, I'm going to have a field full of dirt when it's time to harvest. That's all that's going to become of it. If I don't take the effort and I don't go out there and I don't till the ground, if I don't fertilize it, if I don't plant those seeds, then, you know, it was vain. There was no effort put into it. And the same is our spiritual walk, you know. If we don't put effort in our spiritual life, then what do we expect to become of it? You know, we have to focus on those things that God gives us in our lives. Opportunities, a small little opportunity, even for a 10-year-old. I was at Costco with my youngest son, Connor, and we were getting propane for the barbecue. And there was an older gentleman there, an elderly person, and he had two 15-gallon bottles of propane. They were these big ones. And the gentleman had filled them up there, and the elderly person said to Connor, hey, you know, young man, I could really sure use some help to get these in my vehicle over here. And, you know, Connor's really gung-ho. And I was like, hey, okay, I'll grab one. Connor, you grab one. And those things were really heavy. And, man, he pulled that thing up without hesitation. You know, his heart was all the way in it. And he's wobbling to the car. I'm like, oh, my goodness, the kid's going to hurt his back at the age of 10. But, you know, relentlessly, without hesitation, he grabbed that thing and walked it over there. And it was just really, it was a reward to see the gentleman's face. You know, that this young man, boom, he jumped right on it and he took care of it. You know, and you could see that he really appreciated that. And I can guarantee you that the Lord looks down on us the same way. That, well, I can't guarantee you that, but, you know, it's a nice thought that we do those things out of the kindness of our hearts for the Lord. And it's because of the nature that he has given us to serve, to be meek, to be humble, to help the elderly, to help those that are struggling, those the sick, the afflicted, you know, that the Lord smiles upon us. But we have to put forth the effort. Sometimes the load's going to be really heavy. You know, sometimes it's going to be difficult. But just imagine, you know, what does that do? It brings you joy. It brings you peace. It gives you the reward. You know, I was just thinking in my mind the gold medal when you finish a race, but it's not a gold medal. Anyway, my mind was just kind of wandering there for a second. But, you know, you receive those treasures that the Lord has for you that man can't give. All right, so in Galatians chapter 6, 4 through 9, it says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear in his own burden, shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, don't get tired of it. Don't get sick of it. You know, always look at the positive. Look at the glass half full. Okay? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, if we apply ourselves, if we put our work towards it, you know, we're going to reap the benefits of what we sow. And in Luke chapter 14. I hope our brother Ken is listening to this, verse 28 and 30, because we had dinner at his house a few weeks ago, and I was trying to remember this scripture, and I found it. I was so excited last night. I was like, I found it. It says here in Luke 14, 28 through 30, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? lest he happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. You know, think about that. We entered into the waters of baptism. The foundation's laid. You know, we got a lot more that we have to build. A lot of people in the society in which we live, you know, they're just waiting for us just to fall on our face. Don't do it. Don't let it happen. Count the cost. Think about those things. Think about those things that we have to establish continuously in our lives as we grow, as we develop, as we see things, as we understand things, what it is, what it takes to get us to where the Lord wants us to be. You know, there's changes that happen every single day. We encounter new situations, new difficulties, but see the bigger picture. You know, look at that which is ahead. Pray to God for counsel of those things which are ahead. The Lord will show you the way. He'll help you focus on what you need to focus on. And when we focus on those things, whatever we focus on, if we're wanting to be successful and we have that focus, we're going to be able to succeed. So focus on God and you will see the fruits of your labor. You will see the rewards from the work that you put into it. John chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. You know, that's a perfect example. And again, you know, when we entered into the waters of baptism, you know, we just begun. The work wasn't finished. We just got started. So we need to indulge in this gospel. We need to come and be a part of this gospel. You know, we don't need to be 380 million light years away when it's right here. So the Lord has given each and every one of us a work to do. Think about that work. Finish that work. Give that work all of your heart. And I got a question here. Have you walked away from the one thing that has given you everything? You know, the Lord's given us everything we've got. Have we walked away from that? So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 through 19. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. And it says, quench not the spirit. So, do we receive the warnings that the Lord gives us? You know, do we walk away from those things that are detrimental to our spiritual lives? You know, it says here, quench not the spirit. Where can we go for comfort? Where can we go for support? Where can we learn, know, and be reminded of those good things that God has to offer? Where can we go to rejoice? Where can we go to pray? Where can we go to give thanks? You know, right here, this is where we go. The house of the Lord. We go to God. We gather together. Hebrews chapter 25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us also consider one another not to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Coming together in a hope to be a part of something that is bigger than what the world offers. That will last longer than anything that is in existence. God's love. You know, eternity in heaven. And I'm, very observant, I hope, for the most part. Some things I'm oblivious to. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. But, you know, I've noticed here that the attendance of our local on Wednesday nights has gone down. And it's, you know, it's concerning to me. And in a way that I have a desire, and I know that this is important. And we need to remember that we need to come together to recharge ourselves spiritually. You know, we've heard that preached over the pulpit time and after time again. This reunion, you know, I felt an uplifting from the union. So we should have that desire to come, that we should have that desire to worship. You know, whatever's on TV, it can wait. It'll be there, or it'll go away, whichever's best for us. But the Lord knows and tells us that it's important to come and to worship Him together as a people and surrounding ourselves with those of like faith, you know, to help us through, to have an understanding of the difficulties of life that we all have, you know, to be there for one another. It's just a comfort knowing that you're around people that care. That in itself is comforting, you know. To be alone is not the Lord's intention for us in our lives. And it could be difficult to come together sometimes. We could have plenty of reasons. You know, I'm not going to go through the whole list of them. But really, what is the Lord's desire? And what should our heart's desire be when we encounter those difficulties, those frustrations? I'm too tired. There's things going on. You know, is that the Lord's desire for us to just not go, not show up? You know, we should put effort towards that. You know, get that field going. Get that soil churned. Make it fertile, you know, to allow those things to grow in our lives. And this is where we receive all that nourishment, right here. And so we can, you know, one day be able to look out and to know that, or look back and know that our hearts were in the right place. All right, so I'm going to read in Mosiah chapter 3. All right. I thought this was a cute picture. You know, it says here, therefore I would that ye should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ, Lord God omnipotent, may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and the power and the justice and the mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is above all. Amen. You know, I put this little picture up here because, you know, I think about these things, and my wife and I, we were going on 17 years of marriage, and, you know, I'm approaching the middle of my life or whatever it is, the top of the hill, it's all downhill from there thing. But, you know, I think about those things, and, you know, I truly believe that if you want to have success in your spiritual life, come and be a part of what provides that success. You know, being a part here, being close to God. You know, if you want to know how to have a good marriage, you know, seek out that elderly couple that has been married for 65 years and ask them, you know, what did you do? How did you do it? And you're going to be able to receive those answers. You know, if you want to be successful in your spiritual walk, seek God, and He's going to show you. His goodness, His grace is infinite. So, in John chapter 14, I'm going to read a few verses here. It says, Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Verses 1 through 4, sorry. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye may be also. So God has a desire for us to be there with him. You know, he loves us. He loves his children. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And may it not take... Oh, I put here. Okay, in verse 4 it says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And I put a note here. And may it not take you light years to get there. So, I should spread that out a little bit more. In Revelation chapter 1, 7 through 8, the Alpha and Omega, it says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I said I was going to finish in Jacob chapter 3. I was going to read a couple more verses there, 13 through 16. So I left off at 12 at the beginning, and in the end, I'm going to pick up at 13. It says, wherefore, if God, being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, oh, then why not able to command the earth or the workmanship of his hands upon the face of it according to his will and pleasure? Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from his hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that he counseleth the wisdom in wisdom and in justice and in great mercy over all his works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto him through the atonement of Christ, his only begotten Son. That is the way, that is the path to eternal salvation. May God be with you. May this message, I truly sometimes have a difficult time of what the Lord puts on my heart and try to convey that in a message which will touch yours. But I hope it did today. May God bless each and every one of you in your endeavors to serve, and may you stay focused on that and counsel the Lord. Take the Lord's counsel in your life to be able to help you through whatever it may be. And my thoughts and my prayers are for the body of Christ and all the members in it. And I thank each and every one of you for this time to be able to speak.